Okay, so we're doing the Gemara Pei Dalman Aleph, the story about the donkey that chopped off the hand of the child. Okay, so there's really two parts of the Gemara. The first is the Gemara trying to get the story straight, what exactly happened here. So Rav Papa is the one who was asked the question by the father of the child. Right? We're saying this must not have been amazing because it doesn't seem like the donkey owner was present and doesn't seem like there's too much investigation going on. So the father of the child comes to Rav Papa and asks him, like, what should I do? What's going on here? The Papa says, what you should do is go do an evaluation for the Dalad Dvarim, right? So then the Gemara says, what do you mean it's five things? Hamisha Dvarim, like the Mishnah says. Mishnah says five things. He says, except for Nezer, right? So, I mean, that's something we're going to come to soon, but there is a grouping. Nezek is the primary Chiyuv, and the Arba Dvarim are secondary in a sense. So right away from the Gemara, you can pick up that one idea. Right, that all five things are not created equal here, but there's the primary thing of Nezek, which applies in all cases, whether it's Adam and Adam or Shor and Adam, whether it's a Shor or whether it's a donkey that chopped off his hand or a person, either way there's Nezek. And then there's an additional Arba Dvarim, right? Okay, that's like one little tidbit pick up from the Gemara, just the way you, the organization, the hierarchy in a certain sense of the different, of the five things. It's really one plus four. So sometimes it's more referred to as Chamisha Dvarim, sometimes Arba Dvarim, depending which framework you're talking about. Okay. Then the second point the Gemara makes is, you're only chayiv in Arba Dvarim by Adam and Adam, but by Shor and Adam, if a donkey bites off the hand of the Tinok, you don't have to pay. Right? Okay, why not? Why don't you do that? Why is it only by Adam and Adam? Basic, just looking for basic, nothing too deep. Just basic shot. What's the concept? Okay. So I'm speculating a little bit. Is the first thing is in terms of just when the shore does it, so you say Potter, why? Because Shevis a repo is just grandma, it's just like an indirect cause. You cause him to be unemployed or doctor bills, that's like not in the actual damage itself. And Boshes and Tsar, even though they are concurrent with the Maisa Hezek, but they're like, they're not monetary. It's not a monetary loss. Like Nezek is a monetary loss. You could argue Shevis Ripoy is a monetary loss. But Shevis Ripoy is grandma. And Tsar and Boshes is there's no money. So you embarrass the guy. Okay, fine. So it's not a money thing, right? So so by a regular shore, you should be Pater. By a shore that damages a person, you're Pater. So why by Adam and Adam? Okay, so we said last time, I mean a couple weeks ago before Sukkot, is that really it's because the Torah in Klovel is trying to achieve a tashlumen that brings about ritzor. Okay, and therefore you have to deal with like all the secondary effects if you want to really recognize it. But I think you could say a better answer. I mean, that's a good answer. It's a nice answer. But I think it's a better answer based on what we said the past couple weeks here. Is that the Tashlumen of Adam Ba'Adam is a system that's substituting for Ayin Tachas Ayin. So therefore, it's constructed in a way to replace Ayin Tachas Ayin in a framework of Tashlumen and Mamon. But Ayin Tachas Ayin includes the idea of Boshes and Tsar and Ripoy and Shevis, those are all included. Right? Maybe it doesn't always come out exactly. You can have to do the mamon to make a baini or baini, the difference between the two. But the idea of literally doing an eye for an eye, it's going to include all these other things. So if it's going to be an appropriate substitution system, so then you got to make the, it's got to be a much more comprehensive system of tashlumen than just nezek itself. It wouldn't be an appropriate substitution for ayin tachas ayin mamish. So in order, when the Torah is developing a tashlumen system for Adam and Adam, it has to include all these secondary effects which are always present or generally present when you really have ayin tachas ayin. Right? Because it's a substitute for the mamish. And therefore it's going to include many more things than just saying, well, look, you damaged him monetarily, you have to compensate him monetarily. If it was just a monetary system, so then whatever, just deal with the nezek. once it's a substitution, then you got to be much more comprehensive. You got to really try to make a compensation which includes all the various things that Ayin Tachas Ayin would have included. Okay, fine. So then the Gemara has another funny line, another funny possibility. It says, okay, fine. I didn't realize it was just, or Papa says, I didn't realize it was just a hamor that damaged the person. So therefore, he says, evaluate the Nezek. Then Abai says to him, what do you mean? You got to be, evaluate him like an Evet. So it's like hard to understand exactly what his Havamina there was. Was that like Rabbi Eliezer? Like, what exactly was he saying there? Go evaluate the Nezek. Right? It's like, it's not clear. No, nobody really quite explains what the Havamina was. Maybe he's saying, like, I mean, I don't know if there's a real Havamina here. Maybe he's just saying, see if you can figure out how much the damages are, but not go directly to the slave market. It seemed like maybe he intuited that the father didn't want to do that, right? Just saying, see if you can figure it out by just, like, you know, getting an estimate going without actually making recourse to the market. You know, I think that's like a little bit of a simpler approach than saying it's Rabbi Eliezer, who, like, nobody holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, go ahead, Dov.
Is it possible?
Okay, so yeah, the simplest possibility is, like Dov was saying, it's just a total miscommunication. He meant it, valued it like a slave, and just the Abaye thought he was saying something else. Right, and it's not clear what Abaye thought. I can't imagine that saying. I can't imagine he thought like Rabbi Eliezer. Nobody ever holds like Rabbi Eliezer. So it must be that if the Abaye thought something, I think that's what I'm suggesting, is that he thought that you could do a Shuma in a informal manner, just estimate approximately what it was without actually going to the market and really evaluate him like a slave. Like it's a more conceptual idea of evaluate him like a slave. Like, if he was a slave, how much would this do? You get three experts. You say, this is what it is, but, like, why actually bring the kid down to the market and put him on the slave block and see and get the official market consensus of how much he's worth now? You know, I mean, like, do you actually have to go through with the process of bringing him down to the slave market and evaluating there? Or can you just get an expert to say, well, this is what I think it would be? Right? So it seems like Rapapa was either he had a Havamina or by thought he was saying that. Try to figure it out. And Abaye seems to be saying that, no, you actually have to, what do you mean? You got to, Nishom Kevin means you actually got to go through the process of bringing him to the market. Right? And which is, to me, is surprising. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought maybe like the Havamina, that you just, like, that's a conceptual idea, value him like a slave. But if you don't have a slave market easily available, so then just figure it out. It could take three experts and just have them guess what it would be. You know, if assuming there was a slave market. The problem is to even say that's what it means. Let's just say the Havamina was just total miscommunication. To say that's how it works. But then what was the problem? But then the father has a problem. He says, Zili Bei Milsa, it's going to be humiliating to do that. So it's got to be the humiliation is the actual evaluating him like a slave. I can't imagine that it's going to be the embarrassment would be if a papa and, you know, two other experts decided that they had to figure it out. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, it seems shot from this Gemara that the Gemara is saying that the evaluation, like an Evet, has to actually be, like, done. If there's a slave market available, actually done the slave market. You can't decide to avoid the slave market and just do it in a room and figure it out. But if there's a slave market is available, you have to go make recourse to that. You got to use that. It's like a more accurate assessment. Yeah.
Even if you did that, wouldn't it be an element of, I guess, theoretical evaluation? To evaluate what he would have been like with the
end. I guess so, right?
So there's still be some kind of
theoretical. Right. I guess you can ask the market. I guess the market will be able to tell you, but I guess you're, like, going to the actual market is still going to be a more accurate assessment than just having people do it. Uh-huh. You know, like, these are the traders. These are the people who engage in the slave traders. These guys know what they're doing. They're what they're talking about. You know, the locals and the slave trade. But I don't know. It seems like Gemara is saying, you know, I didn't really start doing any research. Like, how do we practically do it? I imagine we don't actually. Well, next week is going to get into what we do, what we don't do. But definitely Gemara, Pshat is Gemara saying you have to make use of the slave trade, the slave market, if it's available. And that's why the father's saying, I don't want to go through that. right? And you could see the Havamina of Rapapa saying, don't do that. And Abaye saying, what do you mean? You have to do that, right? It could just be a miscommunication. That Rapapa always meant that. Siblis Pshanis Gemara, I don't know if anybody really says, is that Rapapa wasn't just some old senile man who just doesn't know what's going on. Is that Abaye and Rav are younger light here. I don't know how old they are, but they seem to be young, you know, younger guys. And they're learning in front of Rapapa. And there's like an idea of a Rebbe testing out his Talmidim by saying things that are like wrong and seeing how sharp the Talmidim are, can they pick up on it. That's what I think. Nobody quite says that, but that's what I think is going on here. Is Rapapa is testing out Abaye and Rava, seeing are they diligent? Are they paying attention to their studies? And he's saying things that are basically like wrong a little bit and seeing are they going to correct them? Okay, so I think that's what's going on here, in my opinion. Okay, there is definitely a halacha like that the Rav's allowed to do that, to sharpen up his Talmidim. There's stories in the Gemara where he does that. And Gemara gives an answer sometimes like that. So you're allowed to do that, and you guys be on your feet. Okay, if I ever make a mistake, I'm obviously not making a mistake. Okay, so it's just testing out. So I think that's what's going on. But to me, that's insane. It's legitimate Havamina that either Abaye had that for Rapapa or Rapapa really did have. It's hard to believe Rapapa really had it, but that it's, you don't actually have to use a slave mark, but you can use some sort of unofficial estimation based upon, in theory, as a slave, what he would be worth, what he wouldn't be. But no, the Gemara is saying you have to use an actual, more accurate assessment. What would be if you don't actually have a slave market available in your town? You know what I mean, let's say you live in a small town. Now, I'm sure not every only major cities had slave markets. Then maybe you could use an unofficial assessment. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't have to travel to a big city. But it could be, the Gemara is saying here, is that when the slave market is available, you mishpat demands that you use the more accurate assessment. You go down there and you do it. Again, you can't just use a fuzzy, you have to do your best to get it precise. And since the market is the more precise method, you have to make use of it. Okay. Again, I don't know what else to say. It seems like, at least, you know, okay. Then you get to the crux of the Gemara here that's like interesting and new and something, you know, it's remarkable. It's hard to know what to make of it, okay? But the father, this is, let's see what we can say here. But the father doesn't want to do it. Okay, why doesn't the father want to do it? So there's two girsas here. One is Zili Bei Milsa, and the other girsa they bring down is Zili Bi Milsa. Okay, which is a little harder for me to understand. So I'm going to go with the girsa we have in our Gemara. Okay. So the question is who is the Zilzil to? Is it to the child or to the father? Okay. Okay, so, right, is the father saying, I don't want to do it because it's embarrassing to me to have my son evaluated like a slave? Or is he saying it's embarrassing for the kid? It's not good for the kid. Okay, so that's kind of how I want to learn here. The father's saying it's not good for the kid. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to ruin his reputation. He was evaluated like a slave. People are going to say he's a slave boy. They're going to make fun of him. He's going to have that reputation forever that he was a slave and then he's just being bought and he was freed. It just ruins the person's reputation to be on a slave block. Who wants that? Right? Yeah, Yaakov? But this is for Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, I know. I mean, that Rashi we saw? I know. That's what I said. As I said, we're going to go with that with Nebuchadnezzar.
No, I just meant you are able to sell a slave now, not in like this slave block.
For Nebuchadnezzar, you mean?
Yes, they didn't agree. They don't want to embarrass him by playing on the.
Right, that's like an issue. It's like a lot, right?
Right.
I know. But what about Nebuchadnezzar?
I'm saying, couldn't you just do the same evaluation in the alley?
Well, how are you going to get the market, though? How are you going to access the market?
That seems to be the same as just asking yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you want to access the market, I think, again, I'm not really holding in the structure of the slave market, how it was set up. But I mean, I kind of hear your question. But for whatever reason, I don't know. For whatever reason, the father's saying it would be a zilzal to have him evaluated like an epic. Like, I mean, look, either it means you really got to go down to this Evikanani slave market, do it in public, get the whole market the most accuracy. That's what I'm trying to say. But if it doesn't mean that, and really you could either have experts do it or do it in a back alley, let's say you really could do those things, then the father's saying that even doing that is a zilzal, even that's going to be a zilzal, the word's going to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow the Gemara is saying it's zilzal, and the Gemara accepts that it really would be a zilzal. So I guess even if you could diminish to some degree what the how you do it, make it less public, it still would have been zilzal for him. you know? Okay. Okay, fine. And then the Gemara says, okay, so we'll take that up. We'll come back to this point. This is the last part I want to focus on a little bit. So it's the, he's saying it's a zilzal. The Gemara says, Vakam achayvis leyinuka, right? And Rashi says, what does it mean, machayvis? You're chav marielo. You're basically being you're obligating him. You're causing him a loss. You're doing bad for the kid. Shemocha ata al chavalosa. Ata shuman shaltina kein veloshacha. Meaning the father doesn't have the right to be mochel, the nizikin that the child is entitled to, because that money really goes to the child. And what you make a bank account for the child, and you put that money in a bank account until he gets old enough to access it. But when a child gets injured, the nezek goes to the child, not to the father. So what right do you have to be mochel his chof, what he deserves? It's not within your control. It's not within your ability to do that. And then the father answers, when he grows up, I'll be mefaisin for my own money. I'll give him some, either I'll give him the amount, I'll give him part of it, we'll work it out. I'll work it out with him when he grows up. I'll be mefaisin for my own money. Okay? And it seems like the Gemara accepts it. I mean, Meiri says the Gemara accepts this conclusion, even though that it's the halacha, the father can't be mochel the shulman of the nezek of his kid. If the father says this, then we accept it. The question is what is going on here? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on? The father's saying it's a zilzol. Gemara's saying, but you can't be mochel. And then he says, well, I'll just, when he grows up, I'll work it out with him. I mean, how does that work? Either you could, you can't. What exactly is the shaka v'tari in this Gemara, the back end of the Gemara? Okay. So I'm going to be learning this like the Meiri. The Meiri learns, like, lehalacha, the father really can't be mochel the chov of the child. It's not within his koch to do that. Okay. Intrinsically, he can't just be mochel that. If something's owed to the child, he can't do it. Okay. But Rashi's ambiguous. What it means. It could be you could learn that there's an achron according in the art scroll, the Minchas Yehuda. Okay. That, the Yaakov brought in that, that it really since he's an apotropos, then he really does have the ability to be mochel the chiv of the kid, because he's in control of the kid's money, kid's estate. And if it really could be mochel, but the dialogue of the Gemara is that it's like inappropriate, it's wrong, don't do it. And they said, look, I'll make it up to the kid somehow. And we say, okay, fine, if you make it up, it's fine. So things are a little smoother that way, okay, a little smoother. But the Meiri doesn't learn that way. The Meiri learns the halacha. The father can't be mochel, the tashlumin of the kid. Nevertheless, the Meiri does say that if the father accepts this, if the father says this thing, we accept it. Okay, so I guess in a certain sense, the question is the Meir, right? Well, why, if the father can't be mochel, do we accept it? What exactly is going on? Okay, so one more time. The question is, why just wait till the kid grows up? Okay. Wait till the kid grows up and then let the kid decide on his own. So Joe's answer is that you can't figure it out by 10 years from now. It's not going to be an accurate assessment of what he was like as a three-year-old. And therefore, either you press charges now against the donkey owner and get the money and do the evaluation. But if you don't want to do the evaluation, then basically it's tantamount to being mochel because you're not going to be able to collect it in 10 years because you can't do an evaluation properly. Okay? That's one possible answer. Okay? The other answer, and I think is a little bit more direct, is that, look, whatever, press charges then and do your best. Basin will do its best to make an evaluation. And like, at least maybe you'll have a motzei chaver lav haraya. You could say like, at least the kid was worth that $10 worth of damage, at least $100 worth of damage. You know what I mean? If you can't do a perfect assessment, you have some sort of assessment. But you could say that the case here is a chamor, a bit off the hand of a tino, okay? So chamor is, donkeys normally don't eat children's hands. That's not a normal thing to do, right? It's not food, it's not donkey food, okay? Donkeys eat grains, they don't eat animal, right? So it's basically, it's Karen. It's not Shane and Regal, it's Karen, it's not Rugil. So by Karen, there's no reason to assume this is a muad. We'll see in the Gemara later on, there's no muad in Bavel anyway. So it's basically a short tom. Okay, if you own an animal and it does an unusual damages in an unusual aggressive manner, but an unusual way, so it's mishuna, and there's a lach of chatzi nezek, so you don't pay the full nezek. So the nezek we're discussing here is not nezek shalem; it's chatzi nezek, which is nas mamon whatever, but it's chatzi nezek of a short tam or a chamor tam. Okay, and there's a lach that it's migufa. That you can only collect, there's like limited liability to the body of the animal itself. So for example, if the animal dies and it disintegrates and it's not worth anything, then there's nothing to collect from. Okay? So the simplest answer is that really it's short tam, it's a chamor tam, and you can only collect me gufo of the chamor. And if you wait 10 years, it's not gonna be a chamor anymore. He's gonna sell, the animal's gonna die, there's nothing to collect from. You can't go after the owner of the chamor, you have to collect it from the chamor itself. There's like a shibud on the chamor. Okay, it's migufa. Okay, so I think that's the simplest answer. Is it just not possible given the case? Yeah.
He collects half the short value.
Okay, so in terms of the dialogue itself. Okay, so if you learn like the af on the Minchas Yehuda, so then it's, I guess, a little simpler, right? You're saying that basically the father has to act in line with the best interest of the child. And then they're basically, and he has the full rights to do that on his own. Right, which he should. He should exercise his judgment of, is it better for the child to get the money or better for the child to avoid the zilzul destroying his reputation? Like sometimes your reputation is worth more than the money. Money is a one-time thing. But the reputation lasts for a lifetime. So that's a judgment you leave the father, the child to make. Again, even the way I'm going to learn the Erie, that's the same point. That's ultimately what's going on here. Is especially the gears of the Gemara, Zili Bei Milsa, is that it's a disgrace for the child, a zilzul for the child. That is what's going on. Is the father is he's responsible to make that decision of what's in the best interest of the child. Okay. The thing is, if you really say though that he has the ability to be mochel the chov, like that idea of an apotropos, that he's in charge of the child, extends to the idea that he could actually be mochel any achi of nezik that the child is due, then the Gemara becomes simplified a little, right? Then the dialogue becomes, they're just questioning, is this really in the best interest of the child? Yes, there's zilzal, but it's a lot of money, right? To which the father says, you're right. If it was just the zilzal versus the money is significant enough that it wouldn't be worth it. But because he loves his child, he's going to kick in some money on his own. So, meaning he'll make it up to the child. Okay, can some money on his own, plus you avoid the zilzal, it'll be worth it for the kid. He's going to make sure that it's worth it for the kid, right? Truth is, once you say that, maybe that's the other girsa. Maybe that's really the other girsa. That's good. Let's do that, actually. So let's say you say it's zili b milsa. That's really better. That's the kid, the way the Minchas Yehuda is learning. If you say zili b milsa, is that he's saying it's embarrassing for me to have my child evaluated, right? That's the kisviyah, the other nusach that the Gemara has. He's saying it's embarrassing for me. And then they say to him, it's embarrassing for you, but what gives you, you have to act in the best interest of the child. You don't have the right to just worry about your own kavod. You have to work, act in the best interest of the child. So you can't just be mochel. I mean, it's wrong. It's ethically wrong. Or not just ethically wrong, could be, you could say further, could be they're arguing you're violating your trust. You have the right to be mochel the chov if it's truly in the best interest of the child. But if you're just evaluating that it's in your best interest because of your zilzal, but for the child it's really best to get the money, then you don't have the right to do that. So his answer is I'll make it in the best interest of the child. If I'll, because of his own, the father's own kavod, he's willing to pay a certain amount of money to the child when he grows up to be the father's the kid. So the kid agrees it's in the kid's best interest and it's worth it for the father to pay 30% of the whole thing such that it'll become, he'll make it worth it for the child. The child will avoid some zilzal of his own, plus he'll get the money, and everybody's going to be happier this way. And therefore, since he's agreeing to make it up to the child, he's really going to act in the best interest, it really will be in the best interest of the child, then his mechila is a good mechila. Right? That's not bad. And that's why Zili Bimilsa, he's saying that it really is embarrassing to me, and that's their attack on him. But that's their attack on him, is even if it's in your best interest, you don't have the right to be mochel it for yourself. You have the right, you only have the right to operate for the best interest of the child. And he's saying, I will make it in the best interest of the child by adding on some money, and therefore his mechila really is a good mechila. And he can do that. That's a nice way to learn. Okay, go ahead, Joe. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Joe's right. You don't need to change the girsa for that shot. I'm just trying to. The other girsa doesn't work for the other way I want to say. So I'm just saying that this girsa of Zili Bimilsa, the one that we don't have, say the Minchas Yehuda, it works for that way of learning the Gemara. So that's why I'm happy about that. Okay. The way our girsa of Zili Bimilsa is he's saying it's bad for the child. I can't, what the pshat I'm about to say is I can't reconcile the other Zili Bimilsa with it. So I'm saying, yeah, right. His pshat basically works with either girsa you have, right? You're either questioning, is it really in the best interest of the child? Or they're saying it's granted, it's in your best interest to be mocha, but you have no right to do it for the child. And then he's answering, it's going to be in the best interest of the child because I'm going to make it up. Okay, so either gears really works for them. Okay. The other pshat is Zili Bimilsa, is that basically he's saying that it's not in the best interest of the child, right? But they're saying to him, but you can't be mochel, right? You can't be mochel. So even though, yes, you have to act in the best interest of the child, but you technically don't have the right to be mochel, the chov. Okay. So here's what I want to say is that so that's what he says. L'chigadam, if I sin le b'mit mididi, is that basically what he's doing is he's taking on the chov from the baha chamor, from the chamor to himself. So he's saying it's true. I can't be mochel. I can't be mochel the chov entirely because it's not my chiyuv to be mochel the kids. But I'll accept responsibility for this chov and I will make it up to the kid one way or another. Okay, and that. The chiddush is that Beis Din accepts that. Is even though in Samir, even though intrinsically he can't be mochel the chiyuv, but if he's willing to accept responsibility for the chiyuv, because he's saying it's in the best interest of the child, we don't force a situation where we say, look, you can't be mochel, and you know, we don't say we don't trust you or whatever it is, and therefore we force him to go after the evaluation of the child because he can't be mochel, because that's bad for the kid, bad for everybody. Why would we do something like that? We're not just going to follow the letter of the law. You can't be mochel, therefore we're going to have to press the nezek, press the charges and go collect it if that's not really in the best interest of the child. And we trust the father to make an evaluation of what's in the child's best interest. That's the whole point of the father. He's a guardian. He has to make that evaluation. And therefore, but on the other hand, you have to deal with the DNA mamonis reality. You can't be mochel, the kid's chov. So what we do is we accept the idea, we're makabel from the father, that if he accepts the chov on himself, he accepts his responsibility. That he's going to work it out with his kid when his kid grows up, then we allow that to occur. It's not really mechila. He's not really being mochel the chov as much as being mekabel the chov on himself, transferring it from the chamor to himself because he doesn't want to have to deal with the slave problem. And he'll work it out with his kid when he gets older, how much was he probably worth, and he'll work it out either percentage, whatever it is to make the kid happy. Okay? Which is a chiddush that Beis Din trust us allows this to happen in the sense that since he can't really be mochel, we allow him to be mekabel it. It doesn't seem like we make him write a shtar or anything like that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It doesn't seem like it. It seems that there's a certain trust you have that a father loves his child, is acting really in his best interest, And if he says he's going to make it up to him, he'll make it up to him. You know, so that's like the chiddush here. If you learn like the Miri that you can't be mochel. If you learn you could be mochel, then it's right. It's a little bit of a simpler Gemara. Okay, a little bit of a simpler Gemara, like the Minchas Yehuda. That's just a question of working out how it's really going to be in the child's best interest. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.